This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, if you are alive, you have injured yourself. Or been injured. It's an unavoidable fact of life. And it starts in childhood, continues through adulthood. And although it seems that more often than not, childhood injuries are somewhat expected and entirely forgivable. In fact, some of the top 7 common childhood injuries and accidents, they include exactly what you think they do. Falling downstairs, slipping in bathtubs, walking into doors, cuts or punctures, bites, all the things you expect from kids and your elderly parents. And all the things you probably did yourself. But like I said, these things are forgivable. You know what's going to happen. Then there's those more adult injuries that are completely our own fault. Our friends at BuzzFeed recently asked people to share the silliest ways they've hurt themselves. And it includes, you know, tearing an ACL during a spirited performance at a karaoke bar. Busting their lip on a door frame while recreating the Tom Cruise floor slide scene from Risky Business. And of course, throwing out their back because they sneezed. And then there's those situations you cannot predict or prevent. In fact, last month, a 7-year-old kid needed open heart surgery after a drone dropped out of the sky during a holiday drone show, and it sliced into his chest. And then a few days ago, a barista at an Alabama Starbucks, she needed medical assistance after being attacked at the drive-thru window by a monkey. I don't care who you are, that was not in your horoscope for that day. But that brings us to today's question, which is brought to us by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. Today, we want to know, you can go back to your childhood, you can talk about the most recent thing, but today we want to know, what was your first or most memorable injury?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the tolls, away we go. Welcome to season 20, episode number 4245. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll sit and spin. Ted, I know you were pretty fired up about your Yacht Rock documentary. You recommended that I watched it. I was enthralled by the thing.
Yeah, everybody is.
Awesome stuff. As far as, you know, I know the songs, I know the artists, but not necessarily knowing the story behind all of it and how all this stuff went down was fairly interesting because that was all part of my childhood.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So, while we were gone, believe it or not, and I'll tell you the story coming up, but Rob Lowe, of all people, he pops up in the Yacht Rock conversation.
All right.
From his 80s era, when Yacht Rock was basically king without that label.
Correct.
But at the same time, one of the more interesting
but yet strange tidbits I think I've ever heard in my life as far as Rob Lowe. Now, we know Rob Lowe and all the things he's done as far as being an actor and some of his popular movies and television and everything else. But
being a great-looking man.
Being a really good-looking man.
Not aging.
Wearing an NFL hat to not prove that he's a fan of any team.
I'm here for the league.
He is. Yeah. But also made an attempt at singing. And you taught me a couple things I had no idea before I even watched the documentary, which was the fact that the band Toto basically backed up Michael Jackson, for the most part, on a lot of the album Thriller, as Quincy Jones had hired those guys as session players. Mm-hmm. Actually heard Billie Jean over the weekend, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, that does have a Toto kind of riff to it.
Is it Toto or Steely Dan?
It's Toto.
Toto. All right.
And I never really thought about it. And
you wouldn't think about it until they say that it happened. Then you start lending your ear like, okay, that makes sense.
Believe it or not, there was a Rob Lowe Toto collaboration in studio back in the 80s when Rob was done filming the epic masterpiece known as St. Elmo's Fire.
All right.
They went in studio together. So we have that story coming up. But today, in honor, we have the 10 greatest yacht rock songs of all times coming up just for you, Ted, at 4:30. You can see if you can test your knowledge. I know you've bought
listened to a lot of it.
You bought some vinyl? And have been checking it out.
Talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a turntable.
No.
Yeah. So hold up on the vinyl.
Yeah.
Right. We'll get you a turntable. That's not. We probably have one laying around here. I promise you need to get an amplifier and then you need
all the crap.
The speakers and all that stuff. But you can actually go to Amazon. One I bought was like $170 maybe.
Yeah.
And
everybody's got them.
It fills the room. It's fine. It's loud enough. And I play all my vinyl on it. Yes, I would love to have a professional turntable. But either way, I have since acquired a lot of what they label as within the yacht rock category.
Sure. Absolutely.
Now, whether that's George Benson, whether that's Steely Dan, I've been picking up a lot more stuff. So, coming up at 4:30 today, we have the 10 greatest yacht rock tunes of all times. Oh, what else do we have? Oh, we got the announcement today, believe it or not, from Black Raven Brewing concerning our 20th anniversary lager. It is now out in a lot of your local convenience stores. It will be available on tap. If your bar and a favorite convenience store does not have it, just ask the owner. Say, hey, man. Love to have the beer on tap. Help out our friends at the Fisher House.
Yeah, man.
It's great beer for a great cause. It is the 20th anniversary lager. Another chance for you to taste this will happen Friday, February the 7th, as we do our 20th anniversary lager launch party up at the Black Raven Brewing Facility up in Woodinville. Show will be live from 2 to 6. It's absolutely free to get in. Come in, get a draft of the new beer. Hang with us for the afternoon. Be a part of the show.
You will, in fact, be part of the show. We're not doing phone calls.
No, we've already determined. It's, you know, we want to talk to the people who were there. Every time we try the phones, it's for some reason is just a circus. So we've determined no. We're going out into the live studio audience. You're answering the questions. You're doing all the segments. So stop on by, be a part of the show. Again, it'll just be a great afternoon to sit back and drink some beer and get a chance to shake hands and talk to people. So hopefully you can stop by. Today on the question, what do we have? Oh. One more thing. They tell us to say this all the time because they want you to win 5K. So we're doing a little thing called 5K a day.
Nice.
You have to run 5 kilometers a day to call this show.
Which is only a little over 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as bad as it sounds.
No, it is.
But either way.
Not for runners.
Yeah.
I'm not a runner, so it is.
If you listen to KISW, you listen to The Men's Room for 1 hour at Odyssey.com or the Odyssey app. Make sure you're logged in so they know you're there. That's all. You'll be registered. So just listen to the show for 1 hour, whether you're in your car, at home, at work, whatever you're doing, and you have a chance to win your share of 5K a day. And today we're going to talk about injuries. We've all had them. Obviously, injuries are not something that are ever planned. They almost fall under the category, without question, of accidents. Were some of them preventable?
Sure.
Based on your actions.
Absolutely. But you still weren't trying to injure yourself.
You weren't trying to have the ladder tip over. You weren't trying to have all these things happen.
You thought you could clear the bonfire.
Understood. You thought you could cut a bagel in half. Whatever the deal is.
In your hand.
You quickly learn some very valuable things.
You thought the dog was friendly.
Yeah. Maybe you're just cutting on a cutting board and learning to use a knife. How important it is to know where your fingers are and how to hold stuff when you're doing that. And sometimes you just put yourself in situations where you know damn well there is a chance that you could be injured doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's playing sports, be involved in athletics, working jobs requires some, you know, some risky type things. But either way, everyone gets hurt. It seems like if you are a parent, your children get hurt a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you just pass the baton on that. I'm not sure, for all the not real injuries, but the hurts that my kids have endured through their childhood, I remember doing the same thing. Or I don't remember it, and my mother tells me, yeah, you did that when you were three. At least your kid was only two. Or, yeah, you did that a little later in life when you should have known better. It's just, it's everybody. My grandparents told me about my parents getting injured, although one that stands out that my grandmother told the story, not my mother. So it's one of those things that I know nothing about. And then my grandmother, who talks like this all the time, always sounded angry, always had a cigarette in her mouth, but was not angry, but was smoking. For whatever reason, my mother and her next youngest brother, she's the second of five, so the third of five, her brother, always fought, as brothers and sisters do. So my grandparents, one night, they were not the type to go out and socialize and do things. They would invite people to their home a lot, but rarely did they go out. So as my grandmother put it, we just wanted to have this one nice night out. We're going to go to the restaurant, and we knew we're not even going to stay along. And the kids are old enough to babysit themselves, but not smart enough that they should have been left alone. That's right. How my grandmother saw it. Long story short, as my grandmother puts it, when we get back from wherever they had gone for dinner or whatever it was, their son, my mother's brother, he clearly had been to the hospital and had bandages on him. So they kind of freak out. They wanted to know what happened. I never really get all the details on this, but apparently my mother stabbed him, either intentionally or not. Maybe she was just threatening him with the knife, but either way, the knife was in her hand and ended up in him. They had to go to the neighbor, who then took him to the hospital. He got bandaged up. Nothing like threatening or anything like that.
Right.
But he had to get the stitches. And my mother said, look, I tried to tell your grandmother the story, but she never wanted to hear it. All she heard is that I stabbed him. I said, well, did you? She goes, well, yeah. And then after that, my grandmother's like, I don't want to hear another thing. Just got my mom in trouble.
Sure.
But that was the biggest injury he suffered, was at the hands of my mother stabbing him. And I'm like, why did I get in trouble for anything when I was growing up? Like, when I hear stuff like that, like, look, I did some bad stuff, no doubt about it. Every kid does. But I'm like, man, I never stabbed anybody. And if I did stab someone, it wouldn't have been Adrian. Like, he's not my own brother. But yeah, she stabbed his ass, and he ended up going to the hospital. They had to pay the bills, had the bandages. Like, she lost her mind. Just said, I just don't want to know the story, because if you tell me the story, you're going to be in even more trouble. And I kind of do that with my kids now, where I'll witness something, the aftermath of something, and I'm kind of angry, and I'm like, look, the best thing you can do right now, because I'm kind of steaming about this, is not tell me why this thing happened.
Right.
It has happened.
Yep.
It has come to pass. You're apologizing about it. So before you start blubbering your excuses or whatever, like, I don't want to hear it. Let's just agree that this S does not happen again. And I'm pretty good about it. That's maybe happened three times where I'm like, look, man, seriously, I don't want to know, because if you tell me, I'm going to kill you. I'm already mad. But because I don't know the details, you're lucky. Sometimes just save the story.
Yep.
And stuff with siblings. I mean, my brother, right, he's 7 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my two cousins are the same age. My brother would often play football. Sorry for my voice. Would play football, like, on his knees if we were all playing, right?
Especially downstairs, on the car.
In the basement or whatever. Yeah. So same kind of thing. My sister's playing. I don't know what happened. So basically, my brother ends up breaking her collarbone.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. Completely unintentional. But, right, same thing. My aunt is just like, what the hell happened? And it's like, oh, the oldest one was trying to do something nice by not hurting us and ended up hurting her.
No, it happened to the best running back we had. We played football all the time, no matter if we were practicing or we were on an organized team or whatever the deal was. And this is a guy that I ended up playing college football with, who was a running back in college. And my buddy Brian, the way that he grabbed his arm and the way that his weight was moving, when he grabbed his arm, he spun him around and ended up dumping him on his shoulder and on his head.
Right.
Basically almost knocked Garrett out, but definitely broke his collarbone. This was problematic because we were still playing football on an organized team where he's the best player on the team, and we just lost him. And okay, so then we Because of Coach McNamara and what a mean SOB he was. He just was. He was one of those football coach guys that was like, you know, no water. You keep running. Like,
right.
He was that guy that had no rhyme or reason.
He'd be
no
arrested these days.
It'd be a Friday. We're playing on a Friday night. We'd do a walkthrough, and he'd want to do Oklahoma's. He's just this guy, right?
Yep.
So we had to make a vow of secrecy and come up with a story, even for Garrett to tell his parents what happened.
Right.
So the story we came up with was that Garrett fell off his bike.
Okay, it was a collarbone. That's a reason.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what we thought. And then, of course, the coach is yelling at him, why is he riding his bike during, you know, football season?
Of course, because that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
It's so late in the fall and blah, 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 blah. But he couldn't.
But he's better than the truth. Like, you'll take your lumps because it's better than telling them the truth. Like, look, I am lying to this man and they are pissed. But if we tell him the truth, he's going to be more pissed. So just stick to the lie.
Right. And, you know, the guy who did it was a wide receiver. Back in those days, you know, you didn't throw to the wide receivers a lot. That wasn't kind of the style of football that was being played. It was more option. And all Brian
wanted, ran the ball.
Yeah. All Brian wanted to do power T's and I's and just give, the most boring Nebraska old Penn State football you've ever seen. Not with their now. This was old school football.
No, it's like 80s. Big Ten football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's it, three yards in a cloud of dust?
Yeah. So the coach kind of got, because Brian kept going like, coach, just throw me the ball, man. I'm going to make up for what, you know, for the fact
for him falling off the bike.
We don't got Garrett anymore. And, you know, obviously he's never going to call plays like that.
Yeah.
So Brian was just upset the entire game that he could not get the ball in, because he was fast and he was a good player. He just couldn't get the ball in his hands because we didn't throw the ball that much.
Yeah.
Maybe you threw the ball eight times a game when you're in, you know, seventh, eighth grade, whenever this was. It was not that common.
It was rare.
It was very rare.
Yeah.
It was very rare. So just side note, at the end of the game, we were down by like 14 or whatever. Brian picks the ball off because he also played defensive back, takes it in the end zone. Now we're only down by 7. Now we start throwing the ball.
Right.
Make up time.
Because we're down, there's only 3 or 4 minutes left. We get the ball back. And, of course, Starcher's open, so I start throwing the ball to Starcher, Brian. And he caught another touchdown. Now we're tied. The game ends in a tie.
Oh, really?
That's how the game ends back then. They don't even do overtime.
Really?
But a tie was as good as a win.
I think high school regular season still ends in ties.
Well, this was basically what you call like a Pop Warner Pony League.
Yeah.
So we had middle school. Yeah. So tie game is over. But it was a win for Brian because Brian felt so much better. Garrett wasn't happy.
Oh, of course
not. No, he was still pissed off about the whole thing. But you know what? Until you've seen just what a dislocated and broken collarbone looks like, you just, it's pretty gnarly. Like, it depends on where you break it.
Sure.
But his was almost protruding, you know, out of the front. So when that happened, we were all freaked the hell out just because of how bad it looked. He was kind of on an adrenaline rush to the point where he did not seem to be in a lot of pain, but he was just in shock.
Sure.
Kind of a deal. So we all, of course, walked home and got him home. And then, you know, his parents were not happy with us. They knew something was weird because basically we didn't roll up on bikes.
All right. No one has a bike, but he fell off of a bike.
That is correct.
Yeah. We got rid of the bikes after he got hurt.
So, yeah.
That's the first thing you need to do.
The good news was the story never reached the coach.
Sure.
So at that point in time, that was the most important thing because, man, all hell would have broke loose if he found out that we were honestly playing tackle football during the season.
Oh, of course.
You know, that would have been the worst.
I don't want to say the high school, but the son of a friend of mine, he's a freshman in high school, so this is his first year, and he is an athlete. He had never really played football before, but he was curious about playing football, and his team has a known football team in the Seattle area, so he went to tryout, and because it's freshman year, you kind of make the team if you're willing to show up, right? So I think he made it through 4 practices. And more recently, when I talked to his parents, I said, man, how was so-and-so like in football? And he said, you know, he didn't mind it much. But during one of the practices, one of the other students got a compound fracture. And they heard it. They saw it. And he said, that wasn't the bad part. But I guess the scream that came out of this kid, their son is done with football.
He's not playing anymore.
He's not.
Does that mean they get popped through the skin?
Yeah.
Like I've never seen that. I mean,
but he said it wasn't.
Garrett's shoulder blade looked like his collarbone looked like it was. It could come out, but it didn't break the skin.
I know this kid. I mean, it was a compound fracture. And so I'm thinking it's got to be the visual thing, right? Because to me, it's got to freak you out. It's like he wasn't comfortable with that, but he was like, Mr. Steve, that wasn't so much a thing. But he goes, the sound that came out of this kid's mouth, right? You can't mistake it for anything other than pain. So even if you don't see it, you know either this dude's getting attacked by a shark or it's a compound fracture. It's just that super high-pitched, I've never felt pain pop like this in my life thing, man. And he said, just seeing it and seeing the look on the kid's face, he's like, I was done. I said, hey, man, okay, maybe it's not for you. You know, it's a brutal sport. Most people don't get compound fractures, but that's that'll stick in your head if you see that. And he's like, he's like, look, I'm not worried about getting hurt. It's not that. But he goes, that kid was clearly in more pain than I've ever seen another human being. And he's like, I don't even want to risk it.
Yeah. And by the way, we were padded up back then. I mean, we had girdles on. We had thigh pads, knee pads. We had neck rolls. Our shoulder pads were huge. A lot of people wore flap jackets, even if they weren't playing quarterback, just to protect the ribs and things like that. And I'm watching that game last night, and there's like a dude in shorts. He was, honest to God, like,
I had the same conversation.
In gym shorts. I'm like,
that was legal.
What the hell is that?
Where is his knee pad? How could you, butt pad?
I know, how could you just walk out there and play football in shorts?
That is the same legal.
Is this flag football? What the hell is this?
Is that guy even wearing pads?
Are you having the same thoughts, I guess?
Oh, yeah, trust me. Everybody on my text thread is 40 and over and played football.
Yeah.
I never wear them anymore.
Seriously,
put on some pads, son.
Get off my lawn mullet.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Definitely a memorable injury, and if this is this young woman's first injury, it's a bit of a double whammy. A barista in Mobile, Alabama, needed stitches and vaccinations earlier this month after a monkey jumped through a drive-thru window, climbed up her arm, and bit her multiple times. Mobile Police Department officers were dispatched to the Starbucks January 10th, where they learned that a customer's pet monkey had jumped from a vehicle into the coffee shop through the drive-thru window. The employee who has to remain unnamed, sustained bites to her hands and a laceration to her ear, all the required stitches. Another employee was able to pull the monkey off of her as she was being attacked. The monkey then got back into the customer's vehicle, and the customer drove away.
Did they get their drink?
I do not know. The owner of the animal could face several charges. It's an active animal services investigation. The employee said the customer had two monkeys in the vehicle when she pulled up. The customer later did come into the Starbucks to discuss the incident, but did not want to give her name or any information.
I bet she didn't.
She was easily identified as Tammy Gardner, who declined to comment on the incident at the Starbucks.
Told you, man, I do not trust monkeys. I just don't. I had a friend who had a spider monkey. I went to her home one time. And, like, anytime you go to someone's house, it doesn't matter the pet. If they give you a warning about the pet, like, don't do this, don't do that, and it's just normal things you would do, there's something wrong, right? So she had a monkey, little spider monkey, I guess. They said, hey, man, just don't laugh around the monkey. And to me, that is the biggest red flag you can have, because typically when you hang out with friends, at some point you're going to laugh. But anyway, we're sitting at her dining room table, spider monkey sitting at the end next to her, and I said something, and I didn't laugh, but I said something that made the monkey's owner, Cecily was her name, she chuckled. Not even like a big brouhaha, just a and then you could feel the air kind of get sucked out of the room. This monkey stared at her for like 2 seconds, and then lightning fast, his little itty-bitty hand, bitch slapped her across the face. But I mean, it was just pow, right? And the monkey freaked the hell out, started jumping around, running around, all the stuff. She had a big welt on the side of her face. I looked at my buddies like, I'm gone, man. Like, I'm out.
Yes.
This is weird. You know, and part of me, too, because I wanted to laugh at the fact that a spider monkey just bitch slapped someone. I'd never had that experience. Like, that was funny. But I'm like, I can't laugh because then this thing's going to attack me. And as tiny as they are, right? I mean, you look at it, you're like, I could beat this monkey's ass. I don't know what it is about him. I'm like, man, I'm not effing with this monkey. And I laughed.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Happy New Year's. I can remember to send you guys a birthday request in 2 days.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So, I'll just go, my first one was, you guys are familiar with the Counterbalance in Queen Anne Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And so up at the top of the Counterbalance, there's the jogger on the spaghetti shop, and it stretched. Now it's Queen Anne Avenue, and that stretches on for, I don't know, good old, you know, quarter mile, half mile, whatever it is. So on the right-hand side is the hill. If you're facing north, it's hilly on the right side, and it kind of levels out at Queen Anne Avenue. I lived up on Blaine across from the bank, a couple blocks before, like, Thriftway or whatever it is now, Safeway or something like that. So anyway, I was about 4 years old, and our house was halfway up the block. So we were on the high side of the alley, because there's an alley that runs north and south. And I took my trike to the top of the hill. So it was, you know, probably a good four houses up from my house.
Wait. You're on a tricycle? This is a tricycle.
Not one of my smartest judgments. Yes, a little trike. And, you know, I was just playing. It was summertime. I was having fun. And I got about a pedal, two. I'd say probably about three pedals into going downhill. And you know, when you try and stop it, I think we've all done this when we're riding a trike, and you can't stop. There's no brakes. And your feet, like, bounce off the pedals, and your knees, like, almost slap you in the chin.
Sure.
Well, I was gaining a little bit of speed, and I saw, and I was well aware of what Queen Anne Avenue was, and I did not want to go past my house, so I ended up ditching face first. I just, like, peeled, well, layers of skin off, big old raspberry nose, big old raspberry chin, killed top tooth and a bottom tooth. They're like, I don't know, I'd say probably... I want to say maybe a couple of weeks or so later, they just turned black and I lost them. So fortunately, they were baby teeth. And of course, you know, the palms and the knees, and more than anything, pride and mom's first or second gray hair.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's kind of a rite of passage anytime you get on something with wheels, whether it's a skateboard. I would have done that maybe with a big wheel, but I don't think I would have tried it with a tricycle.
I would have tried it with the tricycle over the big wheel because I never had a big wheel, but my friends had big wheels. And at the time that I was at the age where kids had big wheels, we lived on a hill and they had that little blue brake that you pop.
Yeah.
And I realized when I watched them go down on the big wheel, like it never did anything. You pulled it and it just kind of made them skid.
Right.
And they'd roll off of them. And I'm like, I don't want the big wheel.
I mean, I did something kind of like that. Like, obviously, Queen Anne Hill, super steep.
Yeah.
But I had an old fire truck I got when I was littler. So, I mean, I barely.
Like a plastic one?
Right. It's got the pedals inside.
Yeah.
And I remember same thing, right? Like, so, either my sister or brother had a bicycle, and I was like, I'm going to take the fire truck.
And race them around.
Right. Like, go up our hill, then you'd go left and kind of go up another little hill, right? So, same thing. Coming down that hill. I think my brother literally said, I wouldn't start from there. And I was like, screw you. But same thing. Come down that hill. I turn that corner. Somehow make the corner. But now I've got like the speed wobbles. You can't put your feet on those pedals inside. No. And same thing. It flipped over. I don't know how far I skidded down. But I mean, the chunk of skin that had come out of my knee. And then the main thing I remember was just the pure burning sensation of the hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, yeah.
And then picking gravel out of your knee or wherever.
Forever.
Wherever the hell that was.
I love the speed wobbles on one of those plastic fire trucks. I don't know why I find that. Speed wobbles, bro. You're probably going seven miles an hour.
Maybe, right. And I'm too old to be in this thing, so my feet barely fit those pedals anyhow.
Yeah. When I got an actual bike, back in the day, they would put a huge-ass flag, like a golf flag.
Yeah, your big orange flag on the back,
and it was
man.
Probably 6-7 feet. It just seemed like it was 10 feet up in the air. It was probably 6 or 7 feet. And then my grandfather, he wrapped the body of the bike in reflective tape.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he put extra reflectors within the spokes of all these safety precautions.
We called it pimping out a bike back in the day.
So that I would be seen. But at the same point in time, I'm not wearing a helmet. That was never part of the safety consideration. It was just like, you need to be seen to not be injured. Which, you know, I mean, there's something to be said about that. But that was not the real threat.
In the 70s, the kid that wore a helmet on the bike also took a different bus to your school. And that's not a joke. Like that, like seriously. They went to your school, but you never rode the same bus. If they had the helmet, you're like, oh, it's that kid.
Yep. What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitolas.
Hola.
So, I used to work for a hotel. I was a chief engineer, which is basically just a glorified maintenance person.
Okay.
And I basically, you know, I did all the maintenance stuff at the hotel. But one of the days, I had to use some industrial strength Drano, and I was pouring it into a container so I could pour it into the toilet. But then some splashed in my hand, a tiny little drop splashed on my hand. And I saw it just kind of sizzle a little bit. I was like, oh, that's kind of wild. So me, being younger and being stupid, I dumped my latex hand glove, I had a glove on, dipped that into the sulfuric acid and just kind of rubbed it onto my hand a little bit and just kind of watched the sulfuric acid eat away at my skin and my tissue. And then I basically about 10 seconds later, that's when I was like, okay, maybe that's getting a little bit much, and that's when I wiped it off. But yeah, I have a scar on my hand that's in the shape of kind of like a whale. From the sulfuric acid that I decided to drip onto my own hand.
And how old were you exactly? You're working at a hotel, so how old are you?
I was 22.
22. Sulfuric acid. I mean, look, at 22, I feel like the dumb stuff you do is, I don't know, take a bike over a brick wall. I do feel like sulfuric acid, you kind of go, I don't want to mess with this.
Yeah. I thought for some reason you're not supposed to put Drano in the toilet. Am I reading the directions
wrong? It might have not been a toilet. It might have been a sink, actually, okay. Now that I think about it.
What is the difference between putting Drano in the sink versus the toilet?
I don't know.
Just out of curiosity.
I saw it on the label because I was reading the label of all the things because I had a clogged drain, and it just said, don't put down the toilet.
I'm like,
well, why don't you put it down
there? You don't use your plunger on your drain.
I have no idea. I got that job as a housekeeper, and then they promoted me to the chief engineer because I knew how to, like, fix light bulbs and replace light bulbs. And like, oh, you can be a chief engineer. That's excellent. And I was dumb, as very curious person, and I saw that happen. I was like, oh, I wonder what will happen if I put more on there.
Worse things.
Yeah. A couple of days later, I finally went to the, it was like 2 days later, I finally went to the emergency care, and they had to numb it, the area, and then start scrubbing away with a sponge of some sort, scrubbing away at the dead tissue that was on top.
And why did they need to do that? I'm just asking because, like, so the sulfuric acid had already done the damage it's going to do, right? It's not like it was still burning through you.
So the reason why they had to do that is because I may have not gone to the urgent care soon enough. And so it kind of had started healing and with some dead tissue and some dead skin. And it's just, it looked like it was going to get infected. So they rubbed it some seriousness and then just put some wrapping on it. And then, a couple of months later, kind of slowly started healing back to where I could actually take off that wrap.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. By the way, someone here says, if your drain is clogged, you can't start with the plunger, Ted. If that doesn't work, then you use Drano.
Oh, I was just making a joke.
Yeah.
That it said not to use Drano in the sink or in the toilet. And I just never think to use a plunger on my sink.
Look, I've used it, whether I'm supposed to or not, man, back when my daughter was dropping those bombs in there. Like, you got to plunge it out first. And when you flush the toilet, like, it would flush, but it was, like, kind of that weak flush. That says there's still more somewhere deeper in the plant. And I'd plunge that for another 15 minutes, and it's still a slightly stronger, but another weak flush. And I would dump that crap in there, wait 30 minutes, and that kind of cleaned it out. So I don't know if I was doing the wrong thing, to be fair. I never actually read the label. I'm just like, put it where the problem is.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How y'all doing?
Doing great, man.
So my dad used to be a brick mason in Seattle for tons and tons of years, and one of his coworkers or my mom got something gift to her is a concrete bench. And you remember those pulled back racers?
Pull back racers.
The toys.
Oh, yeah. Literally, just pull it back, let go, and the car zips forward. Okay.
Yeah. I had a buttload of those, and I pulled one back, and it ended up rolling under one of the sides. Well, I'm like, I can't remember entirely how old, but 3 to 5 or 6 years old. And I'm playing out on the porch, and I go across the porch to recover it, and I put my forehead right on the corner of one of the sides.
God. How much damage did you do?
As far as I know, I didn't break all the way to my brain. Okay. Luckily.
What were your what kind of student were you? Were you a C student?
A little bit.
Okay, well, I think,
you were supposed to be on the roll.
Right, exactly.
So you went after that car.
He knocked you 2 grades down.
You know, man, honestly, God, those cars probably cause not more significant injuries, but more injuries than you would think with those toys. Because I remember getting them for my son, and same thing, you roll them back, you let go, they zip somewhere. But no matter where the kids aim them, they always go under something. And I know when my kid had them for, I don't know, maybe 6 months that he really enjoyed those. He bashed into the dining room table, crashed into the couch, smashed into the coffee table, got his fingers stuck in doors. And it was all these cars because they try to get them. And kids aren't really experts at trying to navigate things. So they just see where the car went. That's exactly where they go to get it. And regardless of what obstacles between the child or where that car is, somehow they don't see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. So he would just walk into the coffee table, hit his shins, and drop to the ground. And I'm like, is something wrong with this kid? And same thing where my mother goes, dude, you did the same thing. Like, even your Evel Knievels, you know, that you kind of wind it up and shoot off. But she's like, if that thing shot under the sofa, she's like, you walked directly into the coffee table as though it wasn't there.
But you forget what is dangerous about it. I mean, we had BB guns. We used to get that. We'd shoot them at each other.
Sure.
We had bows and arrows. We used to shoot arrows at each other.
But you had your bets with that because you go,
well, they still had a suction cup on them,
right.
But still.
You said, like, I could put out your eye. But there's so much more body behind your eyes. The likelihood of me hitting you in the eye is real rare until you actually hit someone in the eye.
My one buddy was obsessed with boomerangs. Back in the day, that was like one of those things. You know, you're in Australia, you got a boomerang, mate. So he got a boomerang. And he
was a blue and red.
Was it a real one or a toy? It was a real one that was wooden. And the thing was, as much as we tried to figure out how to throw that boomerang, you could never figure it out.
Did you ever figure it out?
I never figured out
that. I never did.
But Brett got one that after that that was that had four blades on it.
Okay.
Now, this thing was much easier to throw, but it was still wooden, and it was thin. And apparently, well, he cracked himself in the back of the head with it because he came in with three stitches. We did not see this happen, but he did whip that thing around. If you got a sled, basically,
oh God,
if,
yeah.
if you don't...
You can't steer it.
It's a recipe for disaster. A toboggan sled,
mm-hmm.
now five people are getting hurt. Three people are getting hurt. If you have a disc sled, there's no way you can control it.
The disc one was the dumbest one.
You could bail, but that was about it.
But for whatever reason, that's the one you put the smallest kids in. The way I remember it when I was growing up...
And we would go down on our knees.
You had mm-hmm. the oldest kids got the wooden ones with the red skis, but you could kind of steer it with that boomerang looking...
Yeah.
And granted, it's not like it steered well, but you had some chance of avoiding the trees that inevitably are at the bottom of the hill. The red one was kind of the next age bracket down, but if you were teeny tiny, right, so you're like 2 years old, you can sit up by yourself, that's when you got the unsteerable round mm-hmm. saucer, and these kids... I mean, they just shoot down the hill, fly off the saucer. Yeah. It was just a lot of teeth.
Look, if you're in a ski resort, they'll have some places have a tubing section.
Yeah,
but they have these ruts, these runs,
the tracks.
You go down the track and you stay in there
to keep you there. Yeah,
but that's not the case when your kid, you know, you're friends with somebody who's just got a inner tube,
mm-hmm.
and you can get two or three people on there. Man, you hit one butt, man. Everybody goes flying through the air like uncontrollably. You know,
first time I broke a bone was on a sled doing the train. You know, you hold each other's ankles. Right. There's three of us, the first kid.
And you S down the hill.
He almost hit the tree stump. It grazed me but smashed my ankle. But the kid behind me, Mike, he was the last one on the train, as we call it, it hit his ribs. The next day at school, first kid, he shows up, he's fine. I'm on crutches. Not the end of the world, just kind of chipped the bone. And Mike, I mean, this dude, he's like, please don't make me laugh. He couldn't move. And
I can't cough.
And again, sneeze. We realized, like... We're sledding in the forest with sleds we can't steer.
what was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.